Mr. Willis, reel 5.
Then Saturday mornings, the skipper used to go, not the skipper, the first lieutenant, used to go around and inspect the messes after they'd scrubbed them out. See, for the Sunday morning rounds. And the cleanest mess in his estimation got an extra gammy duff pudding with a few extra gammies. Encouragement.
What about Sundays? Was there anything special on Sundays?
No. None.
Christmas Day? We'd be home Christmas Day, would we?
You'd only have a few boys aboard there. They'd be given, but it wasn't noticeable, but they'd be given a little extra and such like just to make it appear like Christmas. Because they had to stay behind. And the majority of the boys, they generally used to leave about anything from 60 to 100 boys behind. And all the remainder used to go on leave together. But they used to get their travelling warrant, and the second class boy used to get 15 shillings to go on with. Ten shillings. And a first class boy 15, second class boy 10. And their travelling warrant free.
I remember you saying to me that when Queen Victoria died that day, we got a little treat. What was it?
Extra sugar and some milk in their cocoa. That was all. And that, practically speaking, was the very thin end of the wedge in other things coming along. But it took nearly 7 years to practically materialise, and then it did in the impregnable, and that was when I was aboard there, Mr. Jago and I, or Chief Petty Officer Jago, and Second Class Petty Officer Willis. Well, that was a success. I was there for a length of time and I left. He left, went into the barracks in charge, made a warrant officer. I was made a first class PO 12 months, pulling me down. So that was that.
This was connected with the shift General Messing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That was, the boys in those days, in the impregnable, all they'd done was to peel their potatoes. The cabbage and all, whatever they had for dinner, was according to a menu. And then gradually it came around mornings for breakfast, half a pound of fish, what they called a la Victoria. Other mornings would be bacon and tomatoes. Other mornings would be a couple of boiled eggs, and so on, and so as it went on. And that, then, practically speaking, right up until after I left, I didn't have no general messing in any of the ships I was in. They all made their own, same as in the Valiant. And that was the last ship I was in. But when she went, we paid her off in 1921. She went into dock, and up in the fore part was what they called the four-inch gun deck. There was four-inch guns up there. Well, they were pulled out, place all made, and that emptied out, and they made reconstruct the galley up there, where you had plenty of room. You had spud machines and different machines for doing things. And that was that. which I never read. The only time I ever read anything mechanical was when I was in barracks. And that, and then I used to do about anything from 3/4 to a ton of spuds a day with the spud machine.
What was your relationship with the boys as assistant cook in the line? I mean, they would come to you, you'd see them, they'd be around. How did you get on with the boys?
All right.
They had to call you sir, though, I think.
Yeah.
Would they come and talk to you? Would they come around and ask for your help?
Oh, yes, they come around and talk to me and that. But not allowed in the galley. That was sacred ground where they were concerned. But, oh yes, they used to come and talk to me. Yeah.
Because you knew more about things.
I knew about that, but as regards seamanship, nothing to do with me.
But there was one occasion, you got a nickname in the line. Tell me about that. Does this involve the boys too?
Well, it was washing day. And this boy, his name, he was called Honor. He came for water. Well, he had his one share, but then he wanted some more. I said he couldn't have it. So he started arguing the point with me, so I smacked him around the ear. Man, I could have got into trouble if he'd reported it, but he didn't. Anyhow, he went away and nothing more was said. But I heard a couple of boys talking, and one said, "Here, that cook there, he didn't have to give young what's his name a Biff." And that name stuck to me all the way through the service.
It followed you from ship to
ship? Yeah, it followed you around, a nickname.
And you also got into trouble yourself through helping the boys once, didn't you?
Yeah, Tell me band boy. Otherwise, as I said, they're not allowed in the galley. They used to draw their money. When was it? Was it Thursdays? I'm not sure which, the day. Now, a second-class boy got 6 pence a week, a first-class boy got a shilling. Right, over on the line itself was the canteen. Well, they used to go there and boys would say a couple of eggs or something like that. Some would buy a rasher, you know, whatever they could afford with the money they had. And this band boy come in one day and he had a couple of eggs and he wanted to fry them. Well, if a boy bought a couple of eggs, he's not allowed in the galley. Man, he could go there and buy what he liked, but he had to get it cooked the best way he could. Now, what could a poor little devil do if he was not allowed in the galley and I was not allowed to cook it for him? Seemed damn ridiculous to me. Anyhow, this boy came up there and I said, "All right, but hurry up." So I gave him the frying pan, I gave him a little bit of fat to fry them with. And that, and just as he was finishing, along come the master at arms. Only he was an old sod. Nicholas, he was called. He'd just come home from South Africa, from the prison ship, Penelope. "What are you doing in the galley?" "I'm just frying a couple of eggs, sir." "I take them away and get away out of it." But as it happened, the boy had just finished, so he just tipped him onto his plate and that was that. And he come to me, "Did you allow that boy in the galley?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said he had 2 eggs there, and I said he wanted to fry them. I said, "If he's not allowed in the galley and I'm not allowed to cook them," I said, "how's he going to do it, sir?" Commander's report. I got 7 days, 10A. That meant work in my spare time. And from 8 to 10, stand on the upper deck, facing paintwork for 2 hours. My rum was stopped, although I didn't draw my rum, but the money I got for it was stopped.
How did you feel about facing the paintwork? What do you think about?
Well, myself, at my young age, I thought myself was damn silly. Because what on God's earth did it do anybody any good? Barring the satisfaction of that officer thinking to himself, well, I've given him 7 days to and he's got to look at paintwork. Now, what satisfaction does he get out of that? The extra work? Yes. I'd have done more extra work other than stand and face paintwork, which, as the saying goes, and we used to say at the time, which is swearing, was bloody monotonous.
Did you feel it also to be a bit humiliating as well, a bit making you small and...
Oh, yes. Because after all said and done, I was being punished for doing a good turn to a boy. That's all it was, more no less.
Did this...
I thought so at the time, didn't you?
Did this help you with the boys? Did it make your relationship better with them because they knew you had been punished for helping them?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. May have done, may not. But there was one boy I helped very much there. A boy said to me one day, your name Willis? I said, yeah. He said, we got a boy down in our mess, he's called Willis. He said, got to be a signal boy. So I said, when you see, you tell him to come up and see me, will you? So he came up and I said, your name Willis? He said, yes. He says, I'm called Cecil Archdale Willis. I said, where did you come from? He says, Portsmouth. My father got a shop in Middle Street, bike shop. Oh. I know any of your relations yet? He said, I know Aunt Lou. So Aunt Lou was my mother. And he was my cousin. So after he'd been in at a time, he wanted to get out. Now all I said to that boy was, you're in for signals, aren't you? He said, yes. I said, when you have come up for examination, fail. Oh, he said, I can't do that, cousin. I said, you fail. If you want to get out, you fail. Right. He failed. The next one come up, he failed. So they chucked him out. And I was thanked by him and his own father. When I come round on leave and that, I went down to see them. They were very thankful because they didn't know he'd joined the Navy. So that was that. I tried to do him a good turn, being telling him to fail. The signal boys, they were very keen on it.